Okay, the last couple of months for me and my family have been a period of transition. Rosie has progressed or been promoted from nursery to primary school. And I tell you what, she's been tired at times and it's been trying, okay? But also, Kate's working days have changed. So she used to work Monday to Thursday and sometimes Friday, and now she has Mondays off, and I have Mondays off. So this is quite nice. And we're going through this sort of getting used to a different pattern and phase of life. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this. July to September is often a time of transition. Maybe you've got young people in your home and they're going to do different things. Or maybe you're starting a new job, or there can be many things, health, housing. And there's a new season of church life. Often September is a time where we start a lot of things, or October. Alpha, Job Club, going deeper. But I think there's a bigger change that's happening in society, and that we're all going through a period of transition as a nation. The pandemic and all the restrictions largely seem to have gone. I don't know if it's happening in your mind, but you're kind of thinking of a world without COVID, although it's still there. It's like we've transitioned out of a period of pandemic. The death of the Queen marks the end of an era, and we're transitioning to something new. And our government and the current turmoil we are in a period of transition. And we must keep praying for our government. We must keep praying. We're all going through a period of transition. And it's in these periods of time when we transition that we consider afresh our priorities. I was talking to another parent on Friday, and he was like, I've cancelled this, I've cancelled that, I've cancelled the other. All this money going out. And it's because we're in a period of transition and changes have to be made. But in periods of transition, it's very important that we do a spiritual health check. We look at where we are spiritually. And this morning, we're going to look at this. We're going to consider this morning. We're going to take stock and have a moment to think about our spiritual lives, where we are. And we're going on a series through the book of Joshua called Inheriting the Promises. And we're looking at a time period of real transition for God's people. They are transitioning from a nomad-like existence, wandering around, setting up tents, wandering from place to place, to actually going into a foreign land and going in and inheriting the land and becoming a people who have a land and have a home. Last week, Steve really brilliantly opened up for us that moment of crossing the Jordan River, moving from the wilderness into the land. And that miracle was God dried up the river for them to walk through on dry ground. The river was flooded, but they walked through on dry ground. Joshua tells how the Israelites had one person from each tribe. So this is Joshua chapter 4. If you've got a Bible, you might want to open it up. We're going to sort of skim chapter 4 and go into chapter 5. But Joshua 4 tells after they've come through the river, they, in response to God's call, they take 12 big rocks out of the river, out of the middle of the river, and they carry them over to one side, over onto the side that they've moved to. And this is to make a memorial. So now, land to conquer. Let's go. But not yet. They've crossed over, but God has other things that he wants to do with them. And we're going to look at that. We're going to read this morning from Joshua chapter 4:20. And then into the end of chapter 5. It says this, and those 12 stones, the 12 stones they picked up, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they crossed over, their hearts melted. And there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the son of Israel at Gibeath Haraoth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Though all the people who had came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked the wilderness for 40 years until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children, whom he raised up in their place, that Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. When the circumcision of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land. Unleavened cakes and parched grains. And the manna ceased the day after they ate the produce of the land. And there was no longer any manna for the people of Israel, but they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, this morning we want to open our hearts to you speaking to us. I want to say, Lord, that song that we sung, our surrender. Lord, we want to surrender afresh to you. And we want to pray, would you speak to us, Lord? Would you challenge our hearts? Would you challenge our priorities this morning? As we look at our spiritual health, Lord, would you lead us into your paths and your ways? Would you soften our hearts if they become hard? Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've got three things I'd like to draw from our attention to from this passage that will help us as we look to perform a spiritual health check. The first is, are you remembering what God has done? God has done an amazing miracle in bringing the people through the flooded Jordan, cutting off the water so that they could walk through on dry ground. And it would be easy from that moment to move straight on to the next thing, which was the mighty city of Jericho. It would be easy to think, well, we're through there, let's move on. But God stopped them. He told them to select 12 men to pick a big rock out of the Jordan and to set up a memorial beside the Jordan. Why? Well, I think there's two reasons. The first is it's very easy to forget. And the second is, this was for future generations. Hands up if you've forgotten something in the last 2 months. Hands up if you've forgotten a close friend or family member's birthday. Why are we moving the Harvest Festival? Because I didn't really think it's Kate's birthday next weekend and we might do something, we might have a meal together as a family. Okay, we forget things, don't we? It's so easy to forget things, but it's so easy to forget the amazing things that God does in our lives, isn't it? Last week, I was chatting briefly with Cindy after. Some of you may know I was quite ill. I was, you know, in and out of, you know, hospital, and it was just to see the doctor, because you can't get a doctor's appointment, can you? It's a nightmare. But I had a temperature of 40, and I'd had it for about 3 days, and it was not breaking. Kate was at work, and I was sweating, and I couldn't do anything. So I made the decision, you know what, I'm going to get the church praying. And Cindy asked me last week, well, when did it change for you? And do you know, I'd forgotten. But do you know, that Thursday when I sent that message out and asked people to pray, after that point, I never got to 40 again. And by the Friday night, I didn't have a temperature. I wasn't taking medication. It was an answer to prayer. But I'd totally forgotten because I'd moved on to the next thing. I'm feeling a bit better. I'd moved on rather than recognising God had done something in response to our prayers. And I want to thank you for praying for me. And I want to give God the glory. He answers our prayers. And sometimes we are too busy and too on with the next thing that we forget what he's done. And I know many people, you know, keep a little journal or something, write down answers to prayer, write down what God's doing. And I would say that's helpful for us because it's so easy when things get hard to forget the many ways that God's answered our prayers in the past, because actually what God does in the past encourages us for the future. That thing that is often said, you know, God is faithful. God is faithful, reminds us of what he's done in the past, but it also fills us with faith for the future. God moved in our prayers. So these rocks, I presume this looks like an American pile of rocks, I have to be honest with you. I don't know why, it might not be American, but it looks kind of that sort of. But it was a reminder of what God had done. But more significantly, and the point that's made in the Bible here, is actually that this was about the next generation. Verse 21, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, when? What do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. This was about the next generation. And we need to remember what God has done. But we have a responsibility to tell the next generation. If you have children, you must tell them about Jesus. Responsibility. I feel that sense of responsibility for my children. But it's not for me to tell them morals. The Bible teaches these morals. It's to tell them about Jesus, what Jesus has done. Because the Bible does teach us about how to live a good life. But actually, the point is that we can never live that life. The point is Jesus needed to die to give us the opportunity to find forgiveness and to be able to live a different life. And we must remember to tell our children the gospel, the good news. It's about grace. It's about the good news of Jesus. Because you know what? When they make mistakes, or maybe they go a long way from God, if they know that it's actually about God's grace, God may work in their heart and bring them back. Whereas if they've just been taught morals, well, you can find morals in other places. And it's so important. But I think this actually goes bigger than this. Psalm 145 verse 4 says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. These are different generations. And you find yourself in one of those. And depending where you are, depends slightly on how you think about things, how you think about life. And as a church family, we have a responsibility. We have a role to play on telling the next generation the good things that God's done. We've started our youth work again in the cabin on Sundays. We've got the children's ministry. We, church, have a responsibility for them. And maybe God is challenging you about whether you could be involved in that. all you need is God's work to be done in your life. And you've got a story to tell. You've got something that you can share with the children and young people. But I think this also applies across generations. If you look across this room, and you count how many people are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, it's a lot lower than the other age groups. And we have a responsibility as a church family to declare across the generations. That might involve, at the end, when we go and get a coffee, to think, actually, I need to walk across and I need to meet someone from a different generation. I need to make effort to help and support other generations. So I'm a millennial. Just crept in. 81. So I'm a millennial. So I think about things a different way. The generation that's come, my children will be not even on there. But I have a responsibility to try and engage with a different generation. And that goes both ways for me. But there's a responsibility to declare those praises of God, to declare his mighty acts. And we won't set up some stones in the car park, but actually we have the opportunity to tell, don't we? And it's really important. And a spiritual health check means that we seek to work on remembering what God has done in our lives. Maybe writing it down. We seek to remind ourselves of what God has done in our lives, because that then leads us to praise and worship. That then leads us to a place of thankfulness. And we're part of a community, and the health of the community is based upon our ability to share the good news of Jesus together. And we do that on Sundays, don't we? That's why we encourage people, come and share. Come on. The microphone's open. If you want to share some good news, share some good news. Because it's about declaring what God is doing. The second thing, are you being obedient to God? As Israel passed over into the promised land, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, this is in chapter 4, verse 12, they passed over in front of the people and they were armed. They were ready to battle. Why those 2.5 tribes? Because they had land already on the other side of the Jordan. And they were told, you're going to go in front of the people. So the first thing they do when getting over into the land, we've waited 40 years to get into this promised land. We're ready for battle. The first thing they do is they stop and they circumcise all of the males. Seems crazy, doesn't it? If you think about it from a worldly perspective, I'm sorry, we've just gone into the enemy territory, we've just crossed over, and now we're going to disable ourselves for 3 days. Why didn't we do it over on the other side of the river before we crossed into enemy territory? Or why don't we conquer a few people and then we can do it? If we read verse 1, we find actually what God was doing in the hearts of the nations who were living there was fear. So maybe there wasn't quite so much risk. But this was an issue of obedience to God. The timing might not have suited them, but this was an issue of obedience. God had made promises to Abraham, and we've been looking at this on Wednesday nights. God had made promises to bless him. If you're remembering the scripture, bless him, to take him from his land, his kindred and his father's house to the land that was promised. But he made a promises to bless him, to give him many offspring and also a promised land. And in Genesis 17, 5 chapters after God had made this promise, God said, I make a covenant with you, which involved Abraham in response to God's promises and God's goodness, circumcising every male when they were 8 days old. And immediately, in Genesis 17, immediately Abraham does that to all of his household. And this was a practice for all future generations, a sign that they were God's people. And verse 4 to 7, it doesn't read so well, but it's explaining why a mass circumcision was required. Basically, no one who had been born in the wilderness had been circumcised. During those years, it just hadn't happened. And this moment was a moment about obedience to God's covenant. Now, from the New Testament, it says quite a lot about circumcision because this was quite a live issue. But there's two helpful pointers that I want to just focus us on, because circumcision was an outward sign of an inner reality of faith. Israel wasn't saved because they were circumcised. It was about faith, and it was expressed in circumcision. And Romans 4, verse 11 to 12 says this. He said, this is talking about Abraham. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. And the purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that the righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It was an outward sign. The second thing is that the New Testament, circumcision has been superseded. It no longer applies. Actually, baptism is the thing that most closely represents circumcision. In the New Testament, baptism is a sign of something that's already happened on the inside. Believer's baptism. There's a sense of faith, there's a sense of new birth, there's a sense of repentance that's all happened before baptism. But baptism is an act of obedience. If you're not being baptized, I'd say, well, you know, I've got faith. But no, baptism is a sign of obedience to God. In Acts 2, after Peter preached to the crowds, explaining what had happened as the Spirit fell on everyone, he said, and they said, what must we do? They were convicted. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you're a Christian, you've repented, you've chosen to follow Jesus, you've experienced new birth, you need to be baptized. If you're not being baptized, come and speak to me. We can chat about it. But it's part of what we do. It's part of our obedience to God. It's not something that we put off until we feel good enough. I think some churches, you know, when I grew up, you know, you'd have to walk with Jesus many years before you could be baptized. It was like but actually, it's about faith. Are you believing in Jesus? Are you trusting in him? It's not about how much you look like Jesus at that point. We are all a work in progress. I think if we had to wait until we felt good enough, well, no one would be baptized. And that's why they used to have in the Middle Ages, people would be baptized just before death. It's a decision that you have to make. You're following Jesus. You must be baptized. But I think this challenge of obedience goes deeper than this. As I said, we're all on a journey of being changed by God. It's often referred to being sanctified, becoming more like Jesus. But this happens as we seek to cooperate with God. God gives the Holy Spirit to help us change, but we need to participate in that change. We need to submit to God in obedience. And as we do a spiritual health check today, it's time to think about how you're responding to God. How's God changing you? It is very easy to live a mediocre Christian life because you just get used to sort of saying, oh God, I don't really want to do that at the minute. Don't really want to do that. And you compromise. And it's so easy to do. It's so easy to compromise. So easy to say, but God, you know, I'm doing this. I don't want to do that. And I want to challenge us today. Are you seeing changes in the way you speak to others? Your language? Your love towards others? Are you giving regularly? Now, I've heard it say the last thing to get converted for an English man is his wallet. But actually, and that probably applies to other nations, but I know the English can be a bit tight. But actually, are we responding in obedience to God? And particularly in these days, we are living in hard times. And what's the first thing you want to do? Reduce your outgoings. There's a temptation to say, actually, I'll just reduce my tithe down. I'll just give a little bit less. God calls us to obedience. He calls us to trust in him. Lust, anger, patience. What are you working on with God? And are you constantly saying, actually, I'm going to choose to be obedient? Because this is an attitude, and this is an attitude of faith. And I think there's moments in your life where you make a decision, I'm actually going to radically follow the teaching of Jesus. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to do it. And I tell you what, the most exciting life is when you do that. But actually, the world around us tells us, actually, if you... God doesn't want the best for you. He doesn't want a fun life for you. He's just trying to... And as soon as we start to embrace that, then we start to say, well, God, you can't have that. You can't do this. And actually, life in all its fullness is only found in total surrender to Jesus. Amen? And I want to challenge us today. And as we look at this sort of spiritual health check, this is a key area. Circumcision was painful. And maybe what God is asking you to do or challenge you, it seems quite painful. But it will lead to freedom. And I implore you today to seek to be obedient to God. And if you're struggling with something that is really difficult and it feels painful and you think, I don't know how I'm going to do this, ask for help. We're a family together. We are all being changed to be more like Jesus. None of us is perfect. And we want to help each other become more like Jesus together. So if that's you, please ask for help. Ask for someone to help you. The third thing is, are you spending time worshipping God? After the men had been circumcised and they had healed, the first thing they did as a nation was celebrated the Passover festival. Now, this was a day of worship and thanks that death had passed over their houses, that God had protected them and rescued them from Egypt. From the New Testament, we can see this is a picture of what Jesus would do. He would die like a lamb led to the slaughter. His shed blood would be like that blood painted on the lintels of our lives, providing protection from God's judgment and destruction. And like Israel, it's only those who have actively responded to God in faith and repentance who can receive the gift of protection and new life. If you've never responded to God, if you've never made that decision, actually, I want to surrender my life to God and I want to choose to follow him. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you, because you may experience some form of protection, but actually eternally you're not protected by God because you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ. Come and do an alpha course. If that's you, come and do an alpha course. Come ask questions. But in one sense, this thing for Israel, the Passover, was personal. It was about a family. As a family, you gathered and you slaughtered your lamb and you put the blood on the lintels of the houseposts. It was about your family, but also it was about the nation. It was about gathering together, recognizing God's protection over all his people. And these two elements apply to us. Are you personally spending time worshipping God and thanking him for what he's done in your life? Do you at home, do you listen to worship music? Do you spend time thanking God for what he's done in your life? Do you read God's word? These things will keep you spiritually healthy. If the only time you hear God's word is when you come to a church building, you're not going to be spiritually healthy. This is his word. This is our daily bread. We need it. But also, are you gathering to worship with others? One of the trends that was happening before the pandemic, but I think has become even more prevalent since, is that people attend church less frequently. Regular church attendance in some surveys is considered three Sundays out of eight. That's not regular, is it? The early church met day by day with each other, and they were a community. And we are a community. And we need to find ways to become closer to each other and in each other's lives. But part of this is, how often do you come? Do you even get here before the meeting starts? Sorry, but I need to challenge us on this. Because actually, when guests arrive, they arrive before the meeting starts. And yet, at 10:30, you could see the tumbleweed pass through this room sometimes. We need to get here. We need to be part of this. I want to encourage us that as we look at our spiritual health, being part of a worshipping community is a priority. Before Israel engaged in any battles, they confirmed their obedience to God and they confirmed their worship of God. This was something that was important before Jericho. We're eager to go, but no, these are central issues. And it's this obedience and personal worship and worshipping together that are so important to our spiritual health. The stage for Israel is now set for Jericho. But before they march into battle, Joshua has this encounter, probably with God, because he kneels down and worships him. And it says, when Joshua, verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the Lord. Now I have come." The battle that they were about to engage with was not theirs, but it was God's. And we're going to look at this a little bit next week. But this was the moment when Joshua humbled himself and reminded himself that God was in charge and that he needed to give himself to God's purposes. As Joshua responds, falling on his face, asking what God says to his servant, the commander says, "Take off your sandals, for the place in which you're standing is holy." And these words are very similar to the words that were said to Moses at the burning bush. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. When we do a spiritual health check and we look at our lives again, we should come to that place where we realise again how holy God is. And how our only response to him is worship and submission. Today we've looked at how God desired to prepare his people for the battle that was before them. And remember what he had done. They were seeking to be obedient to him and to worship him. And I want to ask you, what's God saying to you? How will you respond to God's call on your life? How you respond to that call to be obedient? There's a sense that as we come here this morning, there's a sense that we're coming to holy ground. There's a sense that God wants to meet with us. And Joshua knew he wasn't perfect, but he was invited to encounter God. And I want to say this morning that this morning is not about condemnation, but it's about a call to God's purposes again. And if you know you've messed up, yeah, I have too. There's grace and mercy, but we come to God again and we lay our lives before him and we say, "God, would you help me? Holy Spirit, would you help me to live the life you've called me to?" I'm going to invite the band back up. I want to invite us afresh to turn to him and ask for forgiveness. So if you know God's been speaking to you and you know on your conscience there's something, I want to ask you to come before him and to repent, to turn away from that and to know that you experience his forgiveness. It says that when we confess our sins, he is gracious and forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We're going to sing a song which is adoration. It's talking about our response to him. I want to encourage you just to respond to God as we sing this song. In your heart, just respond to him. Just, "God, I choose to leave my life behind and I choose to focus again on your purposes and I ask you to help me to follow you with radical obedience."